Miss Treason sat downstairs in her cottage and watched Tiffany sleeping in the low bedroom above her. She did this through a mouse, which was sitting on the tarnished brass bedstead. Beyond the grey windows, Miss Treason hadn't bothered to clean them for 53 years, and Tiffany hadn't been able to shift all the dirt. The wind howled among the trees, even though it was mid-afternoon. "He's looking for her," she thought, as she fed a piece of ancient cheese to another mouse on her lap. "But he won't find her. She is safe here." Then the mouse looked up from the cheese. It had heard something.
"I told yous, she's here somewhere, fellas."
"I dunna see why we canna just talk to the old hag. We get along fine, we're hags."
"Maybe, but this one is a terrible piece of work. They say she's got a fearsome demon in her tatty cellar."
Miss Treason looked puzzled. "Them," she whispered to herself. The voices were coming from beneath the floor. She sent the mouse scurrying across the boards and into a hole.
"I dinna want to disappoint you, but we's in a cellar right here and it's full of tatties."
After a while, a voice said,
"So where is it?"
"Maybe it's got the day off."
"What's a demon need a day off for?"
"To gae and see its old mam and dad, maybe."
"No, why? Demons have mams, do they? Criffins, will you lot stop arguing? She might hear us."
"Nay, she's as blind as a bat and deaf as a post, they say."
Mice have very good hearing. Miss Treason smiled as the hurrying mouse came out in the rough old stone wall of the cellar near the floor. She looked through its eyes. It could see quite well in the gloom, too. A small group of little men was creeping across the floor. Their skins were blue and covered with tattoos and dirt. They all wore very grubby kilts, and each one had a sword as big as he was, strapped to his back. And they all had red hair, a real orange red, with scruffy pigtails. One of them wore a rabbit skull as a helmet. It would have been more scary if it hadn't kept sliding over his eyes. In the room above, Miss Treason smiled again. So they'd heard of Miss Treason. But they hadn't heard enough. As the four little men squirmed through an old rat hole to get out of the cellar, they were watched by two more mice, three different beetles, and a moth. They tiptoed carefully across the floor, past an old witch who was clearly asleep, right up until she banged on the arms of her chair and bellowed,
"Jings, I see you there, you wee skimmies!"
The feagles reacted in instant panic, colliding with one another in shock and awe.
"I dinna remember telling ye to move,"
shouted Miss Treason, grinning horribly.
"Oh, waily, 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 she's got the knowing o' the speaking," someone sobbed.
"Your neck back, feagles, right, but I dinna ken the clan markings. Come, doon, I ain't gonna deep fry you. You, what's your name?"
"I'm Rob Anybody, big man of the Chalk Hill clan,"
said the one with the rabbit skull helmet.
"And?" "Aye, big man, are you? Then you'll do me the courtesy and tack off yon bony bonnet ere you speak to me,"
said Miss Treason, enjoying herself no end.
"And stand it up straight. I'll have nae slouching in this hoose."
Instantly all four feagles stood to rigid attention.
"Right," said Miss Treason. "And who are the rest of yous?"
"This is my brother Daft Willie, miss," said Rob Anybody,
shaking the shoulder of the feagle who was an instant wailer. He was staring in horror at Enochi and Athutita.
"And the other two of you, I mean twa of you," said Miss Treason. "You there, I mean ye, you have the mouse pipes. Are you a Gonagall?"
"Aye, mistress,"
said a feagle who looked neater and cleaner than the others, although it had to be said that there were things living under old logs that were cleaner and neater than Daft Woolly.
"And your name is?" "Awfully wee Billy Bigchin, mistress." "You're staring hard at me, awfully wee Billy Bigchin,"
said Miss Treason.
"Are you afraid?"
"No, mistress, I was admiring you. It does my heart good to see a witch so witchy."
"It does it?"
said Miss Treason suspiciously.
"Are you sure you're no afraid of me, Mr. Billy Bigchin?"
"No, mistress, but I will be if it makes you happy," said Billy carefully.
"Ha!"
said Miss Treason.
"Well, I see we have, hi, a clever one here. Who is your big friend, Mr. Billy?"
Billy elbowed Big Yan in the ribs. Despite his size, which for a feagle was huge, he was looking very nervous. Like a lot of people with big muscles, he got edgy about people who were strong in other ways.
"He's Big Yan, mistress,"
Billy Bigchin supplied, while Big Yan stared at his feet.
"I see he's got a necklace of big teeth," said Miss Treason. "Human teeth." "Aye, mistress. Four, mistress. One for every man he's knocked out." "Are you talking about human men?"
asked Miss Treason in astonishment.
"Aye, mistress," said Billy. "Mostly, he drops on them head first out of a tree. He has a very tough head," he added, in case this wasn't clear.
Miss Treason sat back.
"And now you will kindly explain why you are creeping about here in my house," she said. "Come along now."
There was a tiny, tiny pause before Rob Anybody said happily,
"Oh, well, that's easy. We was hunting the haggis."
"No, you weren't,"
said Miss Treason sharply,
"because a haggis is a pudding of sheep's offal and meat, well spiced and cooked in a sheep's stomach."
"Ah, that is only when you canna find the real thing, mistress,"
said Rob Anybody carefully.
"'Tis no a patch on the real thing. Oh, a canny beast is the haggis, which makes its burrows in tatty cellars, and that's the truth. You were hunting the haggis. Is it, Daft Wally?"
said Miss Treason, her voice suddenly sharp. All eyes, including a pair belonging to an earwig, turned to the luckless Willy.
Willy,
moaned Daft Willy and dropped to his knees. "Please dinna do something horrible to me, mistress," he begged. "Yon earwiggy is giving me a dreadful look."
"Very well, we shall start again," said Miss Treason.
She reached up and tore off her blindfold. The feagles stepped back as she touched the skulls on either side of her.
"I do not need eyes to smell a lie when it comes calling," she said. "Tell me why you are here. Tell me again."
Rob Anybody hesitated for a moment. This was, in the circumstances, very brave of him. Then he said,
"'Tis about the big wee hag, mistress, we came." "The big wee... Oh, you mean Tiffany?"
"Aye."
"We is under one of them big birds,"
said Daft Woolly, keeping his eyes averted from the witch's blind stare.
"He means a geese, mistress," said Rob Anybody, glaring at his brother. "It's like a tremendous obligation that you cannot disobey," said Miss Treason. "I ken what a geese is, but why?"
Miss Treason had heard a lot of things in 113 years, but now she listened in astonishment to a story about a human girl who had, for a few days at least, been the kelder of a clan of Nac Mac Feagles. And if you were their kelder, even for a few days, they'd watch over you forever.
"And she's the hag of our hills," said Billy Big Chin. "She cares for them, keeps them safe, but..."
He hesitated, and Rob Anybody continued.
"Our kelder is having dreams. Dreams of the future. Dreams of the hills all froze and everyone deed, and the big wee hag wearing a crown of ice."
"My goodness."
"Aye, and there was more," said Billy, throwing out his arms. "She saw a green tree growing in a land of ice. She saw a ring of iron. She saw a man with a nail in his heart. She saw a plague of chickens and a cheese that walks like a man."
There was silence, and then Miss Treason said,
"The first two, the tree and the ring, no problem there, good occult symbolism. The nail, too, very metaphorical. I'm a bit doubtful about the cheese. Could she mean Horace? And the chickens? I'm not sure you can have a plague of chickens, can you?" "Jeanie was very firm about them," said Rob Anybody. "She's dreamed many strange and worrying things, so we thought we might just see how the big wee hag was getting along."
Miss Treason's various eyes stared at him. Rob Anybody stared back with an expression of ferocious honesty, and did not flinch.
"This seems an honourable enterprise," she said. "Why start by lying?" "Oh, the lie was going to be a lot more interesting," said Rob Anybody. "The truth of the matter seems quite interesting to me," said Miss Treason. "Maybe, but I was planning on putting in giants and pirates and magic weasels," Rob declared. "Real value for the money."
"Oh, well," said Miss Treason. "When Miss Tick brought Tiffany to me, she did say she was guarded by strange powers."
"Aye,"
said Rob Anybody proudly.
"That'd be us, right enough."
"But Miss Tick is a rather bossy woman," said Miss Treason. "I'm sorry to say I didn't listen much to what she said. She is always telling me that these girls are really keen to learn, but mostly they're just flibbertigibbets who want to be a witch to impress the young men, and they run away after a few days. This one doesn't. Oh, no, she runs toward things. Did you know she tried to dance with the Winter Smith?"
"Aye, we ken. We were there," said Rob Anybody.
"You were?"
"Aye. We followed yous."
"No one saw you there. I would have known if they did,"
Miss Treason said.
"Aye. Weel, we're good at no one seeing us," said Rob Anybody, smiling. "It's amazing, the people who dinna see us."
"She actually tried to dance with the Winter Smith,"
Miss Treason repeated.
"I told her not to."
"Ach, people are always telling us not to do things," said Rob Anybody. "That's how we ken what's the most interesting things to do."
Miss Treason stared at him with the eyes of one mouse, two ravens, several moths, and an earwig.
"Indeed," she said, and sighed. "Yes. The trouble with being this old, you know, is that being young is so far away from me now that it seems sometimes that it happened to someone else. A long life is not what it's cracked up to be, that is a fact. That Wintersmith is seeking for the wig we hag, mistress," said Rob Anybody. "We saw her dancing with the Wintersmith. Now he is seeking her. We can hear him in the howl of the wind."
"I know," said Miss Treason. She stopped and listened for a moment.
"The wind has dropped," she stated. "He's found her."
She snatched up her walking sticks and scuttled toward the stairs, going up them with amazing speed. Feagles swarmed past her into the bedroom, where Tiffany lay on a narrow bed. A candle burned in a saucer at each corner of the room.
"But how has he found her?" Miss Treason demanded. "I had her hidden. You, blue men, fetch wood now." She glared at them. "I said fetch."
She heard a couple of thumps. Dust was settling. The Feagles were watching Miss Treason expectantly. And sticks, a lot of sticks, were piled in the tiny bedroom fireplace.
"You did well," she said, "and not too soon."
Snowflakes were drifting down the chimney. Miss Treason crossed her walking sticks in front of her and stamped her foot hard.
"Wood burn, fire blaze," she shouted.
The wood in the grate burst into flame. But now frost was forming on the window, ferny white tendrils snapping across the glass with a crackling sound.
"I am not putting up with this at my age," said the witch.
Tiffany opened her eyes and said, "What's happening?"